I like beer.
It makes me a jolly good fellow.
I like beer. It helps me unwind, and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Well, our guest this hour likes beer. So do I, of course. And who doesn't? We're going to talk about beer and Wisconsin's best beers this hour. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Monday, November 26th. Our guest says it's an exciting time for Wisconsin's beer industry with new breweries opening around the state and different kinds of beer being unveiled. We'll discuss all of these developments and we will welcome your favorite Wisconsin beers and breweries. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Kevin Revelinsky, world travel expert from Madison and author of several guidebooks, including the latest Wisconsin's Best Beer Guide, a travel companion, the second edition, which will be available this week. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. Thanks
so
for having me here.
So hot off the press, huh?
It is, yeah. Just got the boxes in over the weekend, so I'm excited.
Why the second edition?
So much has changed. It's been 2 years since the last one, and the book is noticeably thicker. We've got at least 24 new brew pubs.
24?
Yeah, in the book already, and some of them aren't even open yet. I try to anticipate certain brew pubs opening so that it doesn't go out of date so quickly, but it changes so quickly that it is hard to keep up.
There's all these great places opening. That means that some are closing too.
Yeah, a few, but we lost six.
Well, so we have a net gain.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then a couple changed their names, so I don't count them as gone or new. So,
yeah, and this book covers the big guys like Miller Coors or Coors Miller, whatever it is.
Whatever it is, right?
and even the very smallest a brewery in the state. What is that one?
I guess that would be Black Husky up in mm-hmm. Pembine. They made last year about 200 barrels, and they were bottling all by hand, 20,000 bottles. Yeah, I guess that'd be the smallest one. There's another one in Woodman, Wisconsin, that's actually in the local post office / tavern / brewery.
Well, why is this
only
happening?
In Wisconsin, right?
Why is this happening that we have itty bitty breweries opening up, microbreweries opening up, and it's a hotbed of activity again.
It is, and of course the first primary reason is we love beer here so much, but I think it's more than that. It's supporting the little guy. I mean, look at our little football team up there in Green Bay. It's the smallest, town in the NFL. We like that, and we like to support our neighbors. So when you get your local brew pub, you go in, you try it, and you become, loyal to your community, I think.
Now, how many do we have about?
I've got 92 in the book, and that's not counting a couple places that are contract brewing elsewhere, or like White Winter Winery up in Iron River, which is actually makes mead, but they also sell Brackett, which is an ancient form of beer, one of the hybrids between mead and ale. So they're in there as well, but I guess I'm not counting them in the 92. So that's still.
Yeah. What are the ones that you are anticipating that will be opening?
Ooh, well, you've got, there's a number of them, but off the top of my head, Wisconsin Brewing Company. Kirby Nelson recently left Capital Brewery after being there forever, since the 80s, and that will be opening down in Verona. So they're in the book. We got that at the last minute to, able to get it into the book before it went to press. Oliphant in Somerset is set to open in the spring, and they'll be doing. They'll also be a micro distillery, as well as a brewery. So there's a lot coming up. Appleton Beer Factory is.
I've never
think, pretty
heard
close.
Of that. All right, so that's going to.
Yeah, they're almost ready.
But the last time we talked, I think you were on your way to test. Some itty bitty brewery that was just like it was in the Madison area, and it was just going to be
one barrel.
That was
that's
it.
Right. Yep. In fact, one barrel's open already. House of Brews is also open. Both rather small, but making great beer. And then Carbon 4 is about to open in the old space that Ale Asylum vacated as they moved into their incredible new huge facility. So,
well, this is exciting. Lots of stuff. Besides all of these breweries opening up, this is the time of year that there are a lot of new beers being unveiled. Like what?
Well, the seasonals come out. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess we're already through the Oktoberfest season, mm-hmm. but a lot of those are still available on the shelves. But you get your pumpkin lagers, you get your winter warmers, and then I think there's a tendency towards the heavier beers in winter as well. Stouts and porters start to come on tap. And those are personally my favorite. I'll drink those on a hot summer day. I'm not picky that way.
Yeah, so maybe we need a quick lesson. The stouts and porters are heavier, darker beers, and why?
Well, they have a darker malt. It's really a difference in the malt there. So some of them, when I say heavier, I guess that's somewhat misleading because some of them don't really have the higher alcohol. If you take a famous stout such as Guinness, it's really actually much lower than some of these higher octane beers. But yeah, it's just a darker roast of the malt that gives it its different flavor, different character.
Well, one of the things I did it was about a week and a half ago, and in part it was in anticipation of our discussion, and also in part that I went to school at UW-Stevens Point, and I still have some friends in the area. Mm-hmm. I went to the Stevens Point Brewery, and I had my first tour in, you know, more than 30 years. And it looks the same from the outside, and I guess on the inside to probably a great extent too, from what I remember. But they have a lot more beer that they're making now than they did. I just remember the good old, you know, Point Special beer Blue Bullet when I was in school. And now I have, in fact, some winter sampler pack of you know, a black ale and some other beers from Stevens Point that didn't exist when I went to school.
You know, we used to, the saying was, if you're out of Point, you're out of town.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But now they have quite a far reach. That was actually the first place I ever went to a brewery tour. It was many, many years ago. And it was a retired guy named Bill. Bilko, I guess it was his nickname. And he would give tours on Saturdays and come in once a month for his employee discount or free case or whatever it was.
Yeah.
It was awesome. But now, yeah, you're right. They've expanded the line. They've expanded the lineup. They've trying to keep up, I think, with the craft beer industry. And I think they do a decent job of it. I mean, I'm sure some beer snobs will say, well, you know, it's not the same. But it's an effort and a good one, I think. And they have their Whole Hog series. And you know, that's some more particular beers that the general population might be a little uncertain about, you know, like a raspberry saison, and whoa, what's that? You know, they're more familiar with some of these common names, but they're pushing the edges of what they've been doing and exploring new things. I think it's great.
Yeah, and I we had a little testing going on there at the brewery tour. Then out and about on that evening, a couple of establishments had the beer of Central Waters on tap, and
yeah.
I tried some of those too, just little sips here and there. That's that place has got a good reputation.
They really do, and yeah. You know, they moved a number of years ago to a new brewery, and it's all solar powered, and you know, expanding their lineup and their distribution. It's great beer.
Yeah. So. Well, you won't pick favorites, but give us an idea of the types of beer that you just favor.
Huh. Well, I like stouts, like I've said before, mm-hmm. and I think it's I will pick on a few of them that I like a lot. I like the Luna Stout coming out of Hinterland in Green Bay because often it's under the nitro tap, so it comes out, you know, like Guinness, only better, in my opinion.
The Luna Stout?
Luna Stout. It's mm-hmm. Named after a coffee shop there in town, and it has coffee in it, so.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Mm. I just prefer those dark beers that actually, as they get warmer, they taste better. You know, the common knowledge is that in the summer, if you're drinking one of the typical lawnmower beers, the warmer it gets, the less you enjoy it. You like it nice and cold. So I do like those stouts.
Okay, the
porters.
Luna Stout, and that's Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And what else?
Let's see. Hopalicious here at Ale Asylum. I'm making enemies right now by not mentioning people.
Well, they can call in and they can say, too.
There's just so many. I don't know how I'd pick any. Anything that's bourbon barrel aged is fun.
What is the point of that?
You put it in any kind of barrel, and it takes the flavors of the wood or the bourbon in the case of a bourbon barrel, and adds that to the beer. It's something quite different. It might not be something I could drink all night, but I love to have them from time to time.
Yeah. Well, this book has all of these breweries in it and different brew pubs and the like, directions to get there. This is, you call this a travel guide, but of course,
yeah,
travel responsibly.
Exactly. Yeah, that is quite important. So, yeah, it's important to have your designated driver in there. I think it's, I've also mentioned bus tours. So there are some companies now that are, signing people on and taking you around to four or five different breweries throughout the day or even overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got those in the back of the book as well.
We are talking about the best beer and the best breweries in Wisconsin. And we're welcoming your questions. We're welcoming your favorites at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Kevin Ravlinsky. He is the author of Wisconsin's Best Beer Guide, the second edition, out this week. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Hoping that you are with us tomorrow. If you want some more beer money, you can tune in for On Your Money with financial planner Kevin McKinley. He'll have some great money-saving advice along with answers to your personal finance questions. That's On Your Money every Tuesday from 8 until 9. Right now, we are happy to have back with us Kevin Ravlinsky, who is a world travel expert from Madison and author of the second edition of Wisconsin's Best Beer Guide, a travel companion. And you just got back from Thailand, I understand, or traveling in Southeast Asia?
Yeah, just a week before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Came back after a 2-month trip over there.
And how's the beer over there?
Not bad, actually. It's especially in Japan and Korea, it seems that the microbreweries are starting to really blossom. They're starting to make beer that I would say is comparable to what we're doing here.
Really?
There's a place in Tokyo called Popeye. It's got 70 different beers on tap. More than half of them are actually Japanese, and only the best of the microbreweries. The owner's a bit of a beer expert, and he's out there waiting tables with an apron on and everything. You can kind of mistake him for just part of the serving staff. But very dedicated to finding the best of the beers there and from around the world. It's a great place.
Wow. So are they comparable to Wisconsin beer even?
Yeah, well, yes. I mean, to be fair, yes, some of them are quite good.
Well, what else is new in the world of beer or your beer guide, Kevin, from the last time?
Well, we've got some of the beer-related things in there, like the National Brewery Museum that's down in Potosi. That was actually in there last time, but we've added stuff like that, including, Best Place in Milwaukee, which is the old hospitality room of the Pabst Brewery. And then right down the block from there is Brewhouse Inn and Suites. So they've taken the old brewhouse from Pabst and they've, remodeled it into a hotel. That should be open, I think, either in December or January.
So you can stay in a hotel that was the Pabst Brewery.
Yeah, and they have the copper, brew house and everything is in there. So
wow, that would be
cool. I'm kind of excited to see it. We haven't actually seen it yet. It hasn't been open to the public, but I figured I had to get that in there rather than go 2 years without mentioning
it.
Wow,
that's interesting. Yeah, and then you also have in here the best best breweries you can bike to.
Yeah, biking for beer. Yeah, there's so many state trails, bike trails here in Wisconsin, and biking's kind of a big deal, especially I think here around Madison. But I strung together the ones that are bikeable. Either they're on a state trail or an easy bike tour to get around to them. Wear off the beer as you drink it, right? I mean,
right.
You know, you don't want to be riding your bike too, you know, drunk.
No, no drinking and biking either. So
I also have beer pairings in there. Lucy Saunders was kind enough to put together some advice on how to pair beers. She's an author of cookbooks and, you know, cooking with beer.
That would be having beer and cheese together or something like that.
Or different meals. I mean, you already know that beer, you know, all beers go with pizza, for example. But she's got more sophisticated recommendations than I would come up with. So.
Yeah. I think I read an interview that you like eating cheese with beer, isn't there, rather than wine.
Yeah.
Or in addition to wine.
And it might just be that that's because I prefer beer to wine, but yeah. I think it goes well together. And there's beer and chocolate pairings. You'll see them around from time to time. I think it's an exciting concept.
Well, we have a lot of callers who have favorite beers, not surprisingly. Steve in Montreal is with us. Hello, Steve.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And that's snowy Montreal to you folks down in the tropics.
Oh, how much snow do you got?
Well, there's not much more than a foot, but it's coming down right now.
Oh, my gosh.
Our snowmobile trails are getting ready to open. They aren't open yet. Huh. But one of my favorite brewery is New Galaris. Mm-hmm. And I love their Spotted Cow. It's sitting in the refrigerator. And I was just back from Indiana when I had to take two cases of Spotted Cow to friends down there.
That's right, because they don't sell it outside of Wisconsin.
They don't sell it outside, but I've been there. And you know, the folks, well, nobody's mentioned them, in Monroe, they brew private label beers. And over the years, they have had some really good stuff.
Minhas, are you talking about Minhas Brewery?
I could be. I'm not sure what the name is. It's been a couple of years since I was last down there.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, when you have a beer, you need to have it with like-minded people. And up here, with the snow coming down and the snowmobile trails will be open shortly, you know, the people with their four-wheelers, Joni's over Sidekicks over in Iron Belt, good food. Gotta have good food, and we drink good beer, don't we, Kevin?
Exactly.
No, wait a minute, Steve. Is Joni's is a...
Joni's Sidekicks is right on the snowmobile trails on Highway 77 in Iron Belt, Wisconsin.
All right, so you can stop there and you can get...
You can get a cold one set up and have a good meal along with it and find out where the good trails are.
That sounds good, but are you getting a local beer there, or are you getting the Spotted Cow there?
You can get, that's where I drink my Spotted Cow.
Okay.
Unfortunately, we don't have any local brewers up here anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that's a sin.
Well, I'll agree with you there.
But isn't that the mead place in that area somewhere?
I'm trying to pin down where exactly Iron Belt is.
Iron County is
Are you talking
far
an,
north.
An actual town name, or is that just
well,
the
no,
area?
I think that's the, Montreal is his town,
Montreal.
But Iron County is the... seems to me Iron River is in Iron County.
Yeah. You could get the mead there, and you've got Ashland.
Yeah.
Am I in the right place?
Yep, you're in the right place. I mean, I think Ashland might
South
be
Shore.
Douglas County, but it's in that, yeah. But I'm not.
Ashland County and Bayfield County.
Okay, well, thank you, Steve. And do you talk a little bit just about the taverns you can stop at to get these local beers, or are they do they have to be associated with the brewery itself?
Well, no, I've got a lot of what I call stumbling distance for each one of the breweries. You know, they have their own 2-3 pages, and then I recommend places nearby. And a lot of times, those might be beer bars that have a really good selection, like Sugar Maple over in Bayview in Milwaukee. They've got an enormous selection of beers. The Old Fashioned here in Madison has 50 Wisconsin beers on tap. So there are other ways, places to look for the beer other than the brewers. And another reason to go visit that brewery might be a nearby restaurant for a good fish fry or cheese curds, or maybe a museum or a good park for hiking. Take a growler with you out on the trail.
And thank you, Steve, for calling. I hope you enjoy the snow, a foot and counting. That's great.
That's awesome.
If you like snow.
Well, yeah.
Dan in Franksville is with us now. Hi, Dan.
Howdy. Yeah, I think Larry did a show like at least 10 years ago, and I think New Glarus and Capital and some other company were at the top 10 of some world beer tasting thing. And I don't know if he's familiar with that. And I just wondered if there's anyone, if that is true, if there's any Wisconsin breweries that are in the top 10 of some world tasting, beer tasting contest.
Well,
if he knows anything about that.
I don't know anything off the top of my head recently, but there are, the Great American Beer Festival and various other competitions where people submit their beers, and people get awards, medals, gold, silver, and bronze for their different beers. And there are a lot of those. I couldn't even list them all. But I think Capital was once best small brewery, and I think New Glarus was at one time. That's years ago when they were starting out. They're not very small anymore, I guess, which is great. Off the top of my head, that's what
I'm talking about. But Wisconsin wins its share of awards.
Oh, it sure does, yeah.
Is there something about Wisconsin beers, or do they have a characteristic that's unique to the state, or is it just good beer?
Yeah, I would say it's just good beer. Although there are, the effects of local products on things certainly give a different character, just the way they do to wine. I think you're seeing more and more hops are being grown here, more and more people growing their own grain. And Lakefront's got a beer, Wisconsinite, where they've actually isolated Northern Brewer isolated a strain of yeast that is local, and then used that to make the beer. So that's really going local, I guess.
I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Kevin Revelinsky, who is the author of Wisconsin's Best Beer Guide, a travel companion, which will be available this week in its second edition. We're talking about our favorite Wisconsin beers. You can join us with your favorite or question, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our next caller is John in Elkhorn. Hello, John.
Hi, how are you guys doing this morning?
Pretty good.
Doing great.
Go ahead.
I've been making beer for about 27 years, and I got tired of doing it. and I've been trying to find local distributors for microbrews and stuff like that. And I've been having an awful hard time. I go to the local distributors in our area, and I try to order something. And it's really hard to get a hold of. I got to make like two trips. One is to say, well, I want an IPA or something like that, and then they say, well, I want it in a sixth or a quarter or whatever, because I got a cooler that I have set up for it, and I got to go back and forth and screw around, and I'm not online. And I was wondering if you had any suggestions about how to be able to find microbrews that are good flavor and in barrels, so I could find them easier than having to go to the distributors around here and do that.
In the barrels, you say?
Yeah, I usually get a quarter barrel or a 1/6. The 1/6 is like the Cornelius keg.
Well, the distributors really have kind of the brewers are at the mercy really of the distributors, but. I would contact a brewer if you knew that you liked that beer and find out if they do barrels, and then maybe pressure the distributor to get it. Yeah, that's the best idea I have there.
Yeah, John wants to have barrels of beer now.
Yeah, it's not just a six pack.
There we go. Well, good luck, John. Edie emails, what are your thoughts on the new craze of sour beers? I didn't even know there was a craze of sour beers.
Well, I guess it's a craze. It's not enough of a craze for me yet. I actually really like sour beers.
Well, what makes them sour?
It's part of the aging process. There's bacteria involved that turns them sour, but in a controlled manner. Belgians were really into the sours.
Oh, so they're kind of rotten?
In a pleasant sort of way, you could say that. Yeah, I mean. Isn't cheese rotten?
Yeah, you're right. But I'm trying to imagine, so there's actually a sour taste to the beer.
Yeah.
And, on purpose.
If you've had, I'm trying to think of an example. I don't know, maybe the Belgian Red from New Glarus is kind of an indication.
Okay.
That's more of a fruit beer, but it does have a similarity to some of the sour.
So you
I've
like
had.
It, but what? But it is. It's. She calls it a craze. You're saying it's just here. Who
I think
has
it's just
some sour?
I'm not even sure. Okay. I also brewing. I believe has some sours now, and I'm looking forward to going to try them. New Glarus does has had a couple in the past. Yeah, I like them very much actually, and it's something very different. Before this, I think it was the black IPAs was kind of a trend, and certainly we're still, you know, obsessed with putting as much hops into a beer as possible.
Yeah, what is, you know, actually, I even though I'm behind on this trend, that's someone I know always wants to have a hoppy beer, and that makes it a little bitter, doesn't it?
It does, and some people really like that, and you're going to be able to find a lot of examples of that. But for me, after two of them, then my tongue is kind of dead. Mm-hmm. I can't taste much. I you know, that said, though, I really do like the hops.
Yeah, and I have to admit, it's just personal taste. I'm not a beer connoisseur by any means, but sometimes when I drink the beer that is made with wheat, it's not my favorite. I'm not sure what it is. Some people love that. I don't. Yeah. Everybody has personal tastes.
Yeah, it's just a different flavor profile, and you get some seasonings in there, like coriander or orange peel in a lot of the wheat beers. So it's quite different. And I try to point that out to a lot of people who say, well, I don't really like beer. I'm not a beer drinker. Well, maybe you haven't found the beer that you're going to like, because there's such diversity within the styles and the flavors that there's probably something out there that you mm-hmm. like. Maybe it's a fruit beer. Maybe it's a sour. Who knows?
Let's go next to Dave in Walworth. Hello, Dave.
Yes. I wanted to mention that, you were on this topic of it's not really sour, but, you know, to my taste, I think a Pilsner has, you know, it's less sweet than a lager. It's not really sour, but, you know, it kind of goes that direction. And I wanted to mention that I was up driving north of Green Bay, and I came across a Nicolet brewery, really small brewery, and they had a dark Pilsner. And that was just so good, and I just couldn't find it after I left the area. And
Nicolet Brewing, you say? In
yes.
Florence?
Yes.
Yeah, they're gone.
They're gone.
Yeah, they've been gone for a number of years now, unfortunately. But
wow. Yeah, it was a few years back when I was up, but they had this dark Pilsner, and it was delicious. It was delicious.
Interesting.
I've never heard of a dark Pilsner. I guess I always thought it was that what Pilsners were light.
Yeah, that might be stretching the style a bit, but, you know, no one's judging. If it's good, drink it, you know, right?
Yeah, that's right. And you know, but I read that you're not a fan of Pilsners for some reason.
Not so much. It's not my favorite. In fact, I prefer ales to lagers. I like the flavors better, but, you know, to each their own. Yeah. And I've had Pilsners that I've liked very much. I had a Euro Pilsner once from Hinterland that I really liked. So it might just be a matter of American versus European or the different malts.
Yeah, so anyway, the Nicolet Brewing, a brewery in Florence, Wisconsin?
It was in Florence, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I used to spend a lot of time in Florence, and I didn't even know they had a brewery. But anyway, Dave, what else? You wanted to talk about another beer?
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up a couple more. Huber used to make a Rhinelander Bock, and they pulled it a long time back. That was the best-tasting beer that you could drink at room temperature. It had such a great taste to it, and it was affordable, and I really missed that. And I've been looking for a good something comparable to, and I can't think of the brand name, but it's a German Dunkelweiss. It's like in a 24-ounce bottle, and I had it at a small bar, and I haven't been able to find it, but I wonder if anybody in Wisconsin makes a Dunkelweiss.
All right, what's a Dunkelweiss?
Well, it's a wheat beer. It's a German style. It's a little bit darker. Not off the top of my head, I can't think of one, but I'm sure that it's out there.
Yeah, and what's this this Rhinelander.
Sure.
Yeah, Rhinelander
Bock.
That's
an old classic brewery up in, obviously, from Rhinelander originally, but in 60, maybe 68 or 70, they closed, and then Huber took over brewing it for them. And then about a year ago, somebody bought up the rights to that. It's still being brewed there down in Monroe, which is now Minhas Craft Brewing. but they're going to bring Rhinelander back to Rhinelander. That's the goal. They think 2014.
Cool.
So I put a little mention of that in the book. It's not there yet. There is an office, and occasionally they take a visitor or two, but that's, you know, coming down the road, it looks like.
Let's go to Roland in Delafield. I'm sorry, Roland, go ahead.
Yes, about 30 or 40 years ago, I used to travel through West Bend on my way to and from work, and there was a brewery there called West Bend Lithia, and it was an old building, and you would go in there and order a case of beer. It would come flying down a conveyor, and while you were waiting for it, they would give you a bottle of beer to drink while you were waiting for it. And I just, I don't know if the beer was that good or just the experience of being in that kind of situation. Do you know anything at all about that brewery? I know they're not in business anymore, but I always liked the beer. And as I said, I don't know if it was because of the atmosphere or the beer itself.
Well, it's, the atmosphere sounds great. That's awesome. But Lithia, you'll be happy to know, is being resurrected.
There we go.
Sprecher is brewing it for them.
Oh.
So someone's got the recipes, and they're moving forward with it. So you can still go look for it.
But you can't maybe have that experience.
A conveyor belt.
Oh.
No. But, no conveyor belts, unfortunately.
One more thing. When I was 18, 19, and 20, they would have beer joints in the Milwaukee area, and we would go out there, and a bunch of us, and drink just beer. And Rhinelander Shorties was very popular, a 7-ounce bottle.
Yeah.
And that brings back memories. And you mentioned they were going to start making beer again. That was a fun time. You know, you could go out there with a buck and make a night of it.
And the shorty is back,
is it?
I understand. That's what I hear, yeah.
Oh, I'll have to. I don't know where I'll look for it, but I like that beer. And maybe it was because it was just enough beer for me, say, to have with a sandwich. I don't particularly care to drink, you know, a 16-ounce bottle or can. That's a little bit more than I need.
Yeah.
Roland, thank you so much for calling. You know, Bill Martin's, my producer-director, looked up the West Bend Lithia Brewery, and they have a website, and it sounds as though they're still around. Is that Sprecher's doing that for it?
Well, they're contract brewing, essentially. So, they're doing the brewing for Lithia.
Okay,
but Lithia is now available. That's
there
great,
we go.
Isn't it?
Yeah, that is good.
Yeah, I think it's important to note that the previous caller talking about brewing his own beer and such, that used to be illegal up until 1978 when Jimmy Carter actually changed the law that you could homebrew, and that's really important because if you go around and ask all these brewers now how they got their start, 90% of them are going to say, well, I was a home brewer and it's a hobby that got out of hand. And I don't know if there would be as much brewing. I mean, you'd have to go to become a licensed brewer otherwise. And how would you know that you enjoy that if you haven't home brewed already? I think that was a turning point, and that's why maybe in the 80s you started to see so much home brewing. And then now, you know, 20, 30 years later, it's just crazy.
And do you expect it's going to stay crazy? I mean, do you see any end in sight to this?
Well, you got to figure there's only a certain amount of beer we can all drink.
Yeah.
and some companies expect to grow more than others. You know, some will find a nice equilibrium to just survive on their local market. But the bigger ones that have to keep growing are going to need more beer drinkers. I don't know. At some point, it's got to level off, don't you think? Maybe.
Well, yeah, probably. Probably. But you don't see anything that would cause these microbreweries to, you know, go the way of Wisconsin used to be full of, you know, breweries. They all went away and now they all came back. Do you see it in a cycle like that?
There was a bit of a peak, let's say, in the 90s when everybody started to think, hey, I can make lots of money at this. Well, you know, that's not really the case, typically. So a lot of them opened and then closed soon after. But then that led to the next round, I think, because all that used equipment was now available for much cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
So currently that's not the case. The equipment's a little harder to come by, so... it's more expensive to get up and running, I think. But, why not? I think people are... There's enough of a local market to support at least your own little brew pub there. And, you know, people will figure out a way to, yeah, to make it happen.
Speaking of local, you're intrigued by a new beer from Lakefront Brewery in Milwaukee that has all Wisconsin local ingredients?
Yeah, the one I mentioned about the with even the yeast.
Oh, that's the one that has that. Okay.
Yeah, that's, you know, there's a lot more beer that's being made with the local product. You know, several years ago when Capital came out with Island Wheat, everyone was fascinated that, oh, a lot of the wheat's being grown on this island in Wisconsin. But up in South Shore and in Ashland, you know, he's growing all of his grain now and having it malted and then giving it back to farmers. So borrowing it, as Bo, the brewer there, likes to say, he borrows it and gives it back. So
we need to take a short break, and then we will take many more calls about Wisconsin beer. We're talking with Kevin Revolinsky. He is the author of Wisconsin's Best Beer Guide, the second edition. Do you have a favorite Wisconsin beer or brewery? Let us know. 1-800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite place to enjoy a cold one? Or a favorite brewery to tour? You can also email us at talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Stay tuned. Kathleen Dunn is with you after 9 o'clock, and it's All Things Political after 9. We're talking about beer with Kevin Revolinsky, and our next caller is Michael in Hillsboro. Hi, Michael.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. I've enjoyed this conversation immensely. I'm 60 years old, and I started drinking beer when I was almost 18.
Good for you to wait
I've enjoyed
all that
it
long.
For years now. My question is, I go to a liquor store or a beer cave, and it's almost entirely now light beer. And my personal experience with light beer is I don't buy it, I don't need it, I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
I would just like to get your impressions of light beer in general, please. Then I have a short follow-up question, please.
Well, I'm not a fan at all. In fact,
How come?
It's just, there's no substance, there's no flavor, it's just not my thing. And I mean the mass market stuff. I know a lot of, or a handful at least, of breweries, the microbreweries are doing some sort of lighter beer, or at least, you know, a pilsner that's more accessible. So lighter in the terms of, you know, how heavy it is, but the low calorie, you know, there's water.
and that's how you feel about it too, right, Michael?
That's pretty much where I'm coming from. I just wanted to hear it from an expert.
My
follow-up has to do with my hometown of Hillsboro, where there was a brewery there that predates my existence back in the early 1900s. Keep your antenna up and your nose to the ground. I have a rumor that there's a local fellow who's bought a recipe and is going to reinstitute Hillsboro Pale Beer on a local basis.
Hillsboro Pale Beer. Noted.
All right. So is pale beer, Michael, is pale beer different than light beer, right?
Well, I'm sure it would have been either a pilsner or a lager. Just it's mm-hmm. a Czech background community. I mean, it's billed as the Czech capital of Wisconsin. And I'm sure a local brewery would have appealed to that palate more than like the British, perhaps.
Thank you very much, Michael, for the tip, too. Had you heard about this?
No, I haven't. I wonder if it's a contract brew, if they're going to have somebody like Point or you know, Second Street in Milwaukee brew it for them, or if they're going to actually open a brewery. That'd be interesting to find out. We actually have a Slovak brewer here in Wisconsin, Leos Franck in Eau Claire at Lazy Monk Brewing.
Okay.
So an immigrant who's brought the...
Very neat.
You know, his love of beer to Wisconsin.
Well, as someone who watches her calories, I have I maybe am not a fan of light beer, but I drink it maybe more often than I drink full-bodied beers.
Mm-hmm.
And I did try a lighter beer at the Stevens Point Brewery when I visited there a couple of weeks ago, and it was called Drop Dead Blonde, and it was 110 calories for a bottle, and I thought it was fine. Wouldn't be your favorite beer, but I thought Drop Dead Blonde was okay.
I'm always willing to try.
Yeah, my brother-in-law, though, had on one occasion had the Stevens Point Oktoberfest. He really liked it. On another occasion, he wanted to try one of these Drop Dead Blondes, and he took a sip, and I said, "What'd you think?" And he said, "I liked the Oktoberfest better."
So, well, fair enough.
There we go.
And I think one of the ways to find a light beer is to, you know, order the side salad instead of the fries and just drink the Oktoberfest.
There you go. Gary in De Pere. Hi, Gary.
Hi. Say, if you're not a fan of bitterness and you don't like hops particularly, but you like full-flavored beers with food and stuff with a nice thick head on it, what would I buy?
Huh. Well, I would look for, it depends on the brewer, you know, the styles, but something maltier, you know, an amber maybe. Wheat beers certainly are a bit sweeter.
Amber and wheat, huh? No matter who the brewer.
Well, yeah, it depends on the brewer. Some of them hop up their ambers as well. So look at the style descriptions on their bottles, what they say about it, and I think that'll give you a hint as to what you're looking for. Something maltier, though, for sure.
Would it necessarily be dark or not?
No, not necessarily. It just really depends on how much hops they're putting in, and that changes everything. I think Ambergeddon down here in Madison is pretty hoppy, but there's others that lean way towards the malt. So.
Since Gary's in the De Pere area, anything in the Green Bay area that you might think you might check out?
Ooh, stop in at Tidal Town and just sample along down the line. But Capital gets up there, too. I know they're big into the lagers, so those might be your best bets. And then
I'm headed for Tidal Town this afternoon.
Yeah?
All right, Gary, enjoy.
I'll be up there in a week, so.
Enjoy. Let's go to Dwayne in Schofield next. Hi, Dwayne.
Oh, hello. Delicious topic. I'm getting back to the sampling. I know when I go to a Red Eye here in Wausau, they're happy to give you samples of their, because, you know, you hate to buy a big pint and it's nothing that you like. But I grew up in Dubuque, Iowa. We'd go to the Potosi Brewery.
Yeah.
And that's up and running again, and they got a wonderful, a tour you can take and a tasting room with food, restaurant, and then, of course, Dubuque, and now we're jumping across where I grew up, but they have the Dubuque Star Brewery, and that's a nice place to go see if you're ever down in the southern part of the state. But there was a Russian Stout. I got it at Basil in Wausau and Weston, and I don't know if it was Liney or was it New Glarus. Have you ever heard of it? It's like a Russian Stout.
Well,
that was delicious beer.
That is a style, you know, Russian Imperial Stout. Might it have been Big Eddie's from Liney?
Big Eddie. Yeah. It was Big Eddie, yeah. That was
Big Eddie's.
That's Leinenkugel's is doing their craft beer on the side kind of project, and that's coming out of their 10th Street Brewery down in Milwaukee. Fun stuff.
Well, speaking of fun, and we talked about this when we had you on before, talking about the first edition of the Wisconsin's Best Beer Guide, but you went and traveled and visited every single one of these places.
Except for the ones that aren't open yet.
Yeah.
You know? I tried to get around to all of them. This one I'm a little bit behind on you know, the couple that haven't opened quite yet. And so, but, you know, then I make sure that that happens.
Yeah, you are. You're able to do that.
A couple places to visit in the next month. So
and you're going to Titletown next week, did you say?
December 2nd, during the Packers-Vikings game, I have a signing there at the brewery.
Oh, I see.
So
okay.
I have a number of signings, actually, throughout December.
Yeah,
going solid.
Do you still have the get a free beer deal going with this book?
Yes, that's correct. If you get your book signed and back, the signatures from the brewers or the bartenders at the place, places you visit correspond to special offers on each of the brewer's pages, and a lot of the times that's a free beer, so it really pays for itself five times over with beer.
Let's take another call as we are running out of time and many people want to talk. Mike in Oshkosh. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, good morning. Sitting on hold here, it occurred to me as you were talking about Stevens Point, I'm kind of a Guinness guy. One of the really good bang for the buck beers that they produce is that 2012 Black Ale for, you know, Guinness lovers. Usually get a pretty good price, you know, at least around the Oshkosh area.
Yeah, and you know, it was good. I am not a big Guinness fan, and I actually thought it was excellent. So
I do like that one, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a pretty good beer. I like something a bit more, you know, like Titletown up is Bridge Out Stout, and you've got Hinterland's Luna Stout. I like something a little bit
heavier.
Yeah. But I definitely would not turn down one of those. So.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, Mike, you had another question?
Yeah. My primary point, it occurs to me as we watch football, all the sports, you know, that we're seeing on TV, and just the immense advertising that the big three spend on trying to convince us to essentially like bad beer. And I'm wondering if the guest knows what the market share has been for the microbreweries since they're, you know, gaining, you know, people that actually like beer tend to go to those. Is it significant, the impact of microbreweries? Are they getting a bigger market share, or is it simply because of the advertising the big three are just still swamping, you know, microbreweries when combined?
They're definitely still swamping, but that percentage is, you know, that market share is going up, and it's not negligible. I mean, I think the last figure I heard might have been 6%, or maybe that was the growth. I don't know, but it's getting bigger, and they're taking it, I think, maybe more seriously than they need to. I mean, they've already got this huge amount of the market, and yet they're spending lots of money on this advertising, but also lobbying money to make sure that it's difficult for those little guys to compete. And I just don't understand the point. It can't be that much of a threat to them. And you also see that they're putting out their you know, craft-like beer lines that are trying to appeal to that market as well. So they know what's going on, I guess, but yeah, I don't know.
Thanks for the call. Todd on Facebook writes, my sister called me last night to tell me about a vanishing vanilla porter at the Adler Brau in Appleton. I also recommend the Snowdrift Vanilla Porter from Chippewa Falls. They sound good to me.
The Snowdrift, I'm guessing that's the line in Kugel's. Or
yeah, he said Chippewa Falls, so yeah, I suppose that's Liney's. Yeah.
And then Adler Brau, that would actually be Stone Cellar.
Because I was going to say Adler Brau, that was back before my time, even, I think.
And I think it was also the name, though, of a microbrewery or a brew pub thereafter, but that also closed, and now you've got Stone Cellar, which
Stone Cellar
is quite good.
Brewery in Appleton, yes. Yep. And they have a great salad bar for lunch, too, by the way. Solar in Wisconsin Dells is with us now. Hi, Solar.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to, listening to the program is just hitting home with me because my husband just started a brewery in Wisconsin Dells, Port Huron Brewing Company.
And I'll be there soon.
Oh, good.
Excellent. And so when people are talking about, you know, what beers to drink and what kinds they like, obviously I have to drink lots of beers being with my husband. However, I've never really liked darker beers very much. Mm-hmm. But the High Rock Cafe in Wisconsin Dells just did a beer and food pairing with my husband's beers the other week. And, you know, like oatmeal stouts and stuff, I don't usually like tons. I just don't like the darker beers. And they paired it with such amazing food that I really appreciated all of them. So my husband's oatmeal stout was paired with a triple-layer chocolate cake that was just amazing. So I would encourage people out there to kind of look for those food and beer pairings because I think it, even for me, who's been surrounded by the beers for a long time, had kind of some new awakening moments for some really tasty beers that maybe you only have one of, but it goes great with a certain meal or a dessert.
Solar, thank you so much. It sounds really yummy. And and you're going to the Port Huron Brewery in Wisconsin.
Her husband's name is Tanner, and he used to work at Lake Louise, and he did some other work at other breweries around before he started his own up there in the Dells, and I'll actually have a book signing there on the 15th of December. So I'm looking forward to the oatmeal stout because I
with
have
the
a preference
cake too,
for those.
Get the cake as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, this has been a lot of fun. All of your book signings coming up are on your website, which we posted on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, so people can check that out. We put it on our program notes as well. We have less than a minute to go. Something that's opening soon just to whet our appetite?
Carbon 4 hopefully will be open here in Madison in the next, I don't know, maybe a month or two. An Appleton Beer Factory as well. We'll see. I don't know their timeline. There's always delays when things don't go right when you're laying things in.
Looking
there,
forward
we'll
to
see.
It. It'll be a barrel of fun. Thanks very much, Kevin, for being here.
Thanks for having me on.
Kevin Revolinsky is the author of Wisconsin's Best Beer Guide, a travel companion, which is available now in its second edition. Thanks to Bill Martins and to Rob Ferret for producing the program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.